This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good morning and welcome to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene Parish, serving the communities of the East End, Homewood, Point Breeze, and Wilkinsburg sections of the city of Pittsburgh, and also the pastor at St. Benedict de Moore Parish in the Hill District. Last week, we wrapped up an exciting week for our schools in the celebration of Catholic Schools Week. It was a great week, very busy, bustling times for the Catholic schools. Yet even before this bustling week of activities, assemblies, and masses began, Catholic schools received some important support nationally from the U.S. House and Senate. U.S. Senators Marco Rubio of Florida and Bob Casey from Pennsylvania introduced a resolution officially recognizing the valuable contributions of Catholic schools in our nation. So we're calling our show this morning, The State of Our Schools. What appropriate time after the State of the Union this past Tuesday, too, from the president. Joining us this morning with their pulse on our local schools are the regional school directors from across our diocese. I'm really honored to have Sharon Laughlin Brown, John Kuniak, and Michael Kilmeyer from the Southeast and the North Regional Catholic School Systems. Catholic Education Plus is supported by the generosity of Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. So good morning to Sharon, John, and Michael.
Morning, Father. Good morning.
Boy, I have all three of you today. What I had a grand slam with all three of you coming off a busy week with Catholic schools last week. What a fantastic time. As you all know, I have three schools in my two parishes. And so it was just a great week in being a proud pastor of supporting our schools. Now, let's really get to work here. Legislators, bishops, and educators gathered on Capitol Hill in January advocating for school choice in education, but also for the mission of Catholic schools, which is to evangelize. And approximately 1.7 million students are enrolled in our Catholic schools nationwide. Sharon, John, and Michael, it's great to have this positive attention on our Catholic schools. And our schools have a unique role to teach the fundamentals of education, college prep, life prep, but also to prepare the hearts to be the light of Christ. Can you share your thoughts to our listeners on how education and evangelization go hand in hand of what's happening now in our regional schools? Sharon, I'll start with you.
Well, as you know, our schools have the faith as part of all of their days, not just in religion class, but our students are learning the faith, and we ask them to live the faith, learn, love, and live Jesus throughout the day. And so we also ask that they go out and share their faith as representatives of each of our Catholic schools. They are the face of Christ everywhere they go, and we expect them to act that way.
Well, yeah, I think our schools have the awesome responsibility of preparing our students for leadership roles in the world and leadership roles in the church. You know, we equip our students with all of the tools they need to be successful in their chosen vocation in life, whether that be a vocation of service in the church or a vocation to serve in the community. The roots of everything that they need are planted right here in our Catholic schools. And it's an awesome responsibility that we have every day and one that we don't take lightly.
We'll get Michael Kilmeyer from the North Region, your perspective on how education and evangelization go hand in hand in our regional schools.
Thanks, Father Tom. Our view on evangelization is that it goes hand in hand with everything that we do. This truly is why we're here. As a matter of fact, it's the top characteristic of our profile of a graduate in the North Hills region. So knowing Christ, developing a life of prayer, having strong foundation of faith, and a consciousness that is rooted in the Catholic values. We strongly believe that we're an extension of the church. Everything that we do is grounded in the teachings of the Catholic Church.
Now, our local Catholic schools within the diocese have regionalized to make them stronger financially and to become more effective in their role of educating and evangelizing. As you look at our schools, what are the biggest strengths in the terms of raising up the students who serve and act in their community? And how are our Catholic schools different than other schools? Sharon?
So you mentioned Catholic Schools Week, which recently closed. And with all the fun and activities, every school that we visited, and I know every school within our region, and I'm sure across the diocese, had service as part of that as well. And so our students and all of our schools perform some type of service, either in the local community or something even broader, in a way to show their community service.
From the East Region perspective, John?
Yeah, I would echo a lot of what Sharon said, you know, and what's so critical is truly service learning, you know, and so teaching our children why they're serving, who they're serving, who their neighbor is, who they should be, you know, supporting. And so we've had, you know, from simple projects like making Valentine cards to shut-ins, really, you know, getting all of the corporal works of mercy touched upon in our schools and how we can support one another. It was a beautiful opportunity during Catholic Schools Week, and it really gave us that opportunity to celebrate who we truly are. We are communities of service. This truly is a, you know, ministry. And so we can have our students even ministering to those most in need around them through service.
And then I know a lot of schools do canned good drives for their local food banks, clothing drives.
Missions.
Missions, cards to the shut-ins, to the various parishes that they serve. And it's good for the kids, and it's good for the parishioners, too, to have that school connection. And the service, as you said, is in the corporal works of mercy. That's how our kids learn. Michael, you want to give your perspective?
Sure. We believe that we are a community of faith and service. We believe that we're in partnership with our parents. So the students, parents, teachers, principals, and staff are all working together to advance our mission. We firmly believe that our communities are a better place because we're there. We teach our students to be leaders. So leadership within our school, as you were mentioning before, eighth graders doing morning announcements, afternoon prayer, student council, prayer buddies, and that's mentoring the younger students, participating in mass in all aspects, reading, singing, choir, cantering, altar servers, and community service projects, as you were mentioning before, local food banks, drives like food, toy, clothing, baking up, and of course working with our local first responders, police, fire, EMS, hospitals, to show support and appreciation. So these service programs allow our students to show their appreciation, compassion, kindness, and generosity for people around us.
The scores and rankings are often
our community and beyond. We're all about servant leadership.
Okay. I want to sneak one more question in before we go to a break. Scores and rankings are often on the limited test when families are selecting schools. How do we stand out in the areas of rankings and schools from other schools in the region, both public and private? Sharon, you want to grab that one?
Well, I can give you an example of graduation rates. Public schools graduation rate is about 84%, where nationwide Catholic schools graduate 99%. And higher education, the public schools is about 69% as compared to 86% of Catholic school graduates who attend a four-year college.
John, from the East region, test scores.
Yeah, so we can take a look at our test scores, and you know, we do get this question a lot from prospective families. Our students far exceed national norms on standardized tests, but our tests are not always the same that our counterparts in some of the public schools give. What's a beautiful thing in our schools is that our testing can truly be used to inform instruction. And so our teachers are able to take this data, our administrators are able to take this data and truly seek improvement in their schools down to individual students and be able to provide the individual support that our learners need. It really helps us personalize the education for our students.
Mike, I'm going to sneak you in for 30 seconds. Test scores in the North region.
Sure. On the average, our students fall in the 73rd percentile on the standardized test. And as a matter of fact, 68% of our students actually scored one grade level above on their standardized test. But as John was mentioning, we're much more than just our standardized test scores. We're very interested in looking at the whole child. We educate our students' mind, body, and soul. We're helping the students build a foundation that they can lean on for the rest of their life.
And it's not just always the test scores, because not every student tests, you know, high, but it's all the other things. And you add that on with the faith aspect of prayer, it's apples to oranges. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Benedict the Moore Parish in the Hill District and also at St. Mary Magdalene Parish in the East End. And this program is supported by the generosity of Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. And this Sunday morning, we are calling this program the State of Our Schools Address. And I'm with all three of our regional directors for the Diocese of Pittsburgh. Sharon Lachlan Brown is the director for the South Region. John Kuniak is from the East Region. And Michael Kilmeyer is the director of the North Regional Catholic School System. I want to dive into a little bit deeper about what we've discussed in the previous segment for Sharon, John, and Michael. Now, in our schools, truly, they stand out from the other schools by helping the students strengthen their moral character and faith. I want to ask now, how does a Catholic education help our students in these more difficult areas of the world today? And I'm focusing on social media and moral issues. Can you provide any present day examples? And Michael, I'll start with you on that question.
Great. Well, students are challenged to think critically from a Catholic perspective. The phrase, "What would Jesus do?" is often used in our schools to remind the students that they need to think before they act. Our Catholic schools work diligently to help the students make sound decisions in a world that introduces difficult topics way too soon. Social media is difficult for everyone. So obviously there's plenty of examples out there in the real world that people have gotten into trouble, and we need to help our children actually work with that information. And we partner with the parents, as we firmly believe in, and we help turn any difficult situation, any mistakes or anything, into a learning situation. And they could turn that into a positive life lesson in which they can grow.
John?
I think, you know, we go back to how our schools have always taught, you know, it breaks down simply to the golden rule and to love one another. And I'm not saying that our children are always perfect, because they are children. But you know, hopefully equipping them with that ability to recognize who their neighbors are, that we're called to love one another, to think before they say some of the things. You know, social media is challenging. We're putting a supercomputer in the hands of preteens. when we give them a cell phone. And so hopefully, you know, our schools are equipping that our students with the ability to handle that from a moral perspective. But our classrooms also teach things like digital citizenship and how our students should behave online, you know, a digital footprint, in order to help keep them safe as well. So it's a tough area, but it's an area that our teachers hit very hard and you know, want to keep our students as safe as possible.
Sharon, I'd like to get your perspective on the areas about social media and moral issues. How can our Catholic schools provide for these present day challenges?
Well, our kids certainly don't live in a bubble. I think that both John and Mike said that our kids are exposed to social media and as much as their counterparts in the public schools. I think that as well as other moral issues that we see on social media and in daily interactions. I think that, yes, as they said, we teach that. It's part of, we do try to make those mistakes that kids make, sometimes a learning thing, as they said. But I think the other issue is that our kids learn they are accountable for what goes out there. And so, quite frankly, we can't tolerate unkindness on social media any more than we would in our classrooms or in the lunchroom. And so I think that there is some accountability to our students for what they post, and it, especially when it affects their academic careers.
Yeah, and that's always a very tough subject, especially as the kids are growing, especially in the middle school age. It can be a challenge. And then following in high school, a lot of challenges out there. And obviously, you know, like you said, we don't live in a bubble. We have to be very proactive, and not just the school leadership or the clergy, but also the parents too have to really be in the know what their kids are always on their cell phones and what they're browsing on the computers and surfing the internet and all those apps with Snapchat and TikTok. Obviously, all of those things can really, you know, dive into dark alleys, and it could be a challenge for educators too. Now, I'd like to get all three of your perspectives on how our students are becoming Christian leaders within their schools, their families, and communities, because it's all kind of blends together. John, I'll start with you on that question.
Well, many of our students are very active in their parishes. They're very active as altar servers in youth ministry and various programs in their schools. Our students are equipped to take leadership roles in the school community at young ages. You know, we're excited to see things like our prayer partners, where even kids in fourth and fifth grade have the responsibility to help lead their younger counterparts, their younger students in the school. You know, our schools in many ways are small families, you know, they're communities, they're big families, I should say. And so it's an opportunity for, you know, students to take that leadership role at a young age to really fine tune those skills so that they're able to take that out into the world.
Michael?
Yeah. I mentioned that earlier, that we definitely take a lot of time and effort to instill in our students that they are tomorrow's leaders. So all of those opportunities that they have in the school and start to internalize and build in a foundation that I said they could lean on for the rest of their life.
And Sharon?
You know, recently I had the opportunity to be on two tours of our Catholic schools, one a high school and one within the South region. The one of Central Catholic was no surprise. I had an 18-year-old taking me around, very, very poised, and shared many things, showed great potential for leadership, and it was very impressive. But then just a week later, I was doing a tour of one of our elementary schools as part of the open house, And a five-year-old was taking us around and showed the same amount of poise and leadership, but now maybe just as much enthusiasm, but saying, this is the best room in the school, and showing a lot of leadership potential at the age of five. So I think we take our kids to where they are and we give them opportunities to show leadership and to shine as well as they can.
Yeah, I like how you made that perspective, Sharon, the older high school kid and then the younger kid too. They're future leaders, and how they just, you know, their respective timeframes and their schools, how they, you know, jumped right into that leadership. And that's what our Catholic schools are doing. We're forming future leaders in America today. So kudos to all three of you for what you do, your leadership and our principals, our faculty, our support staffs, the pastors and parishioners who really invest in Catholic education in Diocese of Pittsburgh. And as a pastor, I really appreciate all three of you for what you do for us. And not an easy challenge. It's never easy, and it's always work improvement. And I know for all of us, we are very grateful for you. So Sharon Loughlin-Brown from the South Region, John Kuniak from the East Region, and Michael Kilmeyer, the director of the North Regional School Systems. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
Thanks so much for having
Thanks,
us.
Father.
Thank you, Father.
And we'll be back. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. This week in our Plus segment, we are featuring the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we continue reading in Matthew's Gospel what we call the Sermon on the Mount. 2 weeks ago, we heard about the Beatitudes. Last week, we heard about the salt in the earth. And this week, we continue reading that same passage as Jesus uncovers the deeper meaning of the law, anger, adultery, divorce, and taking of oaths. Jesus makes clear that the purpose is not to do away with any aspect of the law, but he wants to show how he fulfills the law. And as sons and daughters, we are all called to our higher standard of attitude, behavior, and actions. Lent begins just in a few weeks, and today's reading suggests that we dig a little deeper in order to be a better disciple of Jesus and a stronger witness of his truth and love. And Jesus says that he came not to abolish the law or the prophets, but rather to bring the fulfillment. What does God ask us to do? To love him and to try to keep his commandments. So when we're considering our ups and our downs and our challenges, we have to consider the sins of the heart. If we're holding on to some anger or resentment or jealousy or anger, temptations, those are some things that can sometimes prevent us from what's really important and focusing on being a better Catholic and a better Christian. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio.